Hello, everybody. Good morning and happy Wednesday, April 17th. Just realized I messed up the stream, Doug, and we're not streaming to Twitter as usual. So maybe I can add that in real quick. But yeah, happy birthday to my son, Holden, who turns 14 today. Can you believe that?
14. That's old, man. That's
really old. Somehow 13 didn't hit me. Like 14. Uh-huh. 14 just is like serious teenager now.
And, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He'll get his learner's permit next year. He'll he can go into PG-13 movies without an adult.
Oh, man. Big time. I mean, couldn't we have already done that last year, though?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. What else happens at 14? That's like a legit teenager, you know?
Yeah.
13 high feels school, like a high borderline preteen. 14 is like teenager.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's funny. And No Meat Athlete existed when he was born. Whoa. It was about a year old, which made me realize we missed the 15th anniversary of No Meat Athlete. That was like a month ago. But I remember Leo from Zen Habits. He turned 40 when I was like maybe a year into doing No Meat Athlete. And I was like, that is so old. Why do you even want to keep living and like blogging then? Like, what's the point of doing anything once you're that old? Like, how could that be fun to do anything? And now, you know, I'm blown past that. Got a 14-year-old kid.
Yeah, and here you are still making silly little videos online every day.
I know. Yeah, really. It is quite silly that we are doing this. Anyway, we're sponsored by Compliment Love, compliment.com. That is the serious side of what we do and why we are able to do this silly, goofy thing 3 days a week, plus the afternoon show on Friday.
I've already had 3 Compliment products today.
Oh, yeah?
Compliment Essential, of course. The multi-nutrient.
Right.
I took a little bit of Omega Complex to get some additional omega-3s, DHA, EPA.
Mm-hmm.
And chocolate protein in my oatmeal. Because I went to the gym this morning, got swole, and I needed the protein and creatine to help rebuild my muscles.
Right.
Get that strength going.
There is no Compliment creatine yet, but it may be coming.
Ooh. Insider scoop.
Maybe. I was saying maybe. Didn't say it definitely is. Those are the 3 Compliment products that I most use as well. I don't do the protein on a daily basis right now, but I do now and then when I'm really into working out stuff. But definitely the omegas and the multi-nutrient and no greens powder. I'm surprised to hear that, Doug. I'm not surprised, but to me that's our other best product.
Yes. Yeah, no greens on a daily basis these days. I went through, I did that for a while, but now it's just kind of when I need it.
Yeah. Our neighbor at the bus stop the other day asked Aaron, he's a big fan of the greens powder. And he said, at what age can I start giving it to my kids?
Mm.
And she was like, well, any age, it's just greens, right? It's the same as if you gave them some spinach or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think there's any green in there that would be contraindicated for children.
No,
But it is good. It's a drink that kids actually would drink, which you can't say about many greens powders. They mostly taste terrible, but ours is good. All right, let's do some customer service here. Dana P says, do you have any tricks to get Compliment's greens powder not to stick to the glass, or is that just the nature of greens powders? I typically just use water.
I do have a little bit of a trick of this, and that is to put the water in first and then the greens powder and immediately begin mixing it. Like as soon as you start putting it in, that's how I've had the most luck with that, because it does happen. If you put it on the bottom of the glass and then add the water, then it will like kind of clump up at the bottom.
Oh, right. Yeah. I would definitely put the greens in second. I wouldn't have even thought twice about it, I don't think.
So enlightened, Matt Frazier.
What?
So enlightened.
I think I've just done that stuff enough that I sort of now it's just sort of second nature. You put the liquid in first. Like if you put protein powder into a blender and then put the liquid in it, it's going to be all caked on the bottom. Okay. Well, anyway, there you go. There's that. More customer service. Vegan Stallion, how do you know when you need it? This is actually now sales pitches. you need it on a – I mean, if you're in a stint where you're not having a lot of greens, like if you're traveling, it can be particularly good. Mm-hmm. If you're just finding you're just not really getting that daily salad in, it's not a replacement for the salad by any means. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. But it's something to get you going. And I think really it's sort of a habit builder. If you drink that, then it can help you want more greens later in the day. So that's what I do.
And I don't when I'm really know. Tired, I drink it as like a pick me up too.
Mm. Hangover kind of deal.
No, I mean, yeah, maybe, but because I'm hungover most mornings. No, no, but like if I'm just dragging or something like that, I don't know if it gives me a truly immediate burst of energy or if it's placebo, but it, you know, it feels better than water.
Yeah, right. That's always, I like, it's good to have a little placebo crutch for when you're just feeling sluggish to start the day.
Yeah.
All right. Steven's here. It's good to see him. He's not always here recently, so it's nice to see you check in here, Steven. And then apparently there's two newcomers here, says Britters. Allison, who says, good morning. First time able to join live. Welcome, Allison. Great to have you. Always like new people coming to the show. And Patrick O'Neill, also first time live. Look at that.
All right.
So welcome. Hello also to Kate, Britters, Mr. Jeffrey, Vegan Stallion, Big Media X Clause. Already said Steven, Danielle P, who we answered her question. And that's it. That's the people who have checked in. So, yeah. Anyway, any updates, Doug? Anything we need to know? We must know about Doug's life since yesterday.
No, I do not believe so. Aside from, I did. So I at the gym this morning, I did decline presses for the first time in my entire life.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Decline's good because you can bench more with decline than you can with flat bench, typically.
You know, that's what the person said to me, my partner said to me, and that was not the case for me. I really struggled. Yeah. I went up in weight, and I started up in weight a little bit, and I was like, no way is this happening.
I mean, it is an awkward position if you haven't done it, so.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I messed up. It's not Patrick O'Neill. It's Patience O'Neill. I don't know how I misread that. My bad. I apologize. Yeah. Well, decline bench is just not something a lot of people do. But I think it's good because I think it avoids shoulder injuries. And bench press is definitely a big culprit of shoulder injuries. Regular bench press and incline bench press especially, I think. So decline gets it out of your shoulders, and that's a good thing. So good. I like that. Trying something new.
Yeah.
Body moved a new way today. Never done that before.
That's right. How about you, Matt? Anything new, fresh?
No, my body moved in no way today or yesterday or recently. I just haven't been doing any fitness. So I got to get going again. I don't know. I'm at that phase where I've been off just enough to, I will have lost a lot of strength and it'll be measurable in how much I'm lifting. And that's always hard to get back. And that's when you most need to, so you don't keep sliding. So I just need to do something about it. So that's it. Went to a soccer game yesterday. Part of my daughter's thing. Her team had an arrangement with the local pro team here. Not Charlotte FC, the other professional grade team. So went to that. That was fun. Had some fries. Didn't feel good after eating fries. So that was it.
You know what else I did yesterday? Go back to the fitness thing. We recently got access to the Peloton app. Mm-hmm. I tried it out yesterday for the first time. I tried a 10-minute core workout. And like 4 minutes in, I was like dying. It was so hard. Yeah. And I even do planks and, you know, I do some like core work now and then. But I just could not believe how anyone could do what they were doing for 10 minutes. It's crazy.
Does anyone need to work their core that hard?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's just, you know, like I run and now I'm lifting a little bit, but it's mostly chest and upper body. Like, you know, I was thinking it'd be like a little piece to the puzzle, another piece to the puzzle.
But right.
I don't know.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to think about core. It seems like it's one of those.
Your core?
What?
You don't blast your core every day?
No, I spent a lot of time learning how to do those hanging leg raise. And I was very proud of that. And that felt like that was a good, strong core. I need to make sure I don't lose that ability. It's where you're hanging from the bar and you touch your ankles up to the bar without engaging your upper body as much as possible. And so it was good. That was the strongest my core's ever been as I was doing a whole bunch of those. But I feel like even then, and the ab wheel where you go all the way out from a standing up position and that will kill your midsection. But it's like, what's the point? Like, why do you need that strong of a midsection? Unless you're like an elite athlete or something, why do I need that? Day-to-day.
Why do you need that strong of anything, though? I mean,
because it looks swollen good, but you're and it's not, you're not gonna get a great six pack from that core work. I just don't believe that. I think you just get that from not eating much food. So I don't understand it, but certainly core important. I'm not saying it's not. I don't know.
Yeah,
and I've never been anti-core before today.
Like, thinking about longevity, it's probably one of the more important ones for you to have.
Yeah, right. Keeping it in shape and all that. It just seems like blasting the core. It just doesn't make sense to me.
British suggests I do more yoga. Yes, I, I don't disagree there. Kate suggests Pilates.
Same thing.
Yes. Not the same thing. No, no.
Well, I'm sticking with ab wheel and hanging leg raise. I think that's all you need.
All right. Fair enough.
What I say. All right. And my mom says the core exercises at Pure Barre improve my posture. I'm not saying it's not good to work your core. I'm just saying we don't need to blast the core. It's just, you don't need to blast anything. All right. Enough about that. I've never been against the core before today. So this is not a long time, like, entrenched viewpoint of mine.
You can't, we're 10 minutes into the show and you haven't said anything negative yet. So we had to.
Right. Right. Unless it's hardcore, says Steven. He's anti-core, mostly at lazies, unless it's hardcore, and then he's into it.
Yeah.
I can get behind that.
Uh-huh.
All right. Enough of that goofing around. Let's get to this serious business of the weather report. We got some fun items today, so let's jump in. Here we go. Meant to get to this yesterday. Landmark occasion in the world of high tech and healthy food, healthy in quotes, food. Finnish air protein company Solar Foods has announced the official launch of their highly anticipated factory 01 in Finland. It's the world's first factory growing food out of thin air. They're also going to produce jetpacks, I hope, because if they can do that, then there's no reason why we can't have jetpacks by now. And they're going to make 160 tons annually of solene just with air and bacteria and electricity.
It's magic. It's absolute magic. Pulling food, protein out of thin air. Magic.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I don't have anything against air protein if I could get my hands on it. It seems like a whole big hoax. I just can't believe this is really happening.
What if you had a little machine, like an extension to your cell phone that just you held up and it like pulled in air and produced a burger?
Right. Or put that, implant that in your lungs, and then you just breathe in air and just take your protein all day.
You're just like constantly eating it. Like the off switch gets broken and you're like,
perfect.
Converting everything to air. Yeah.
All right. We got to counteract today's the day that it went nuts on media. The idea that plant protein or plant meats may be worse for you than real meat. We broke the story on Friday after several major media outlets had talked about it first. Then yesterday more were on, and today it's everywhere, all over the Google search for vegan news. No mention of like the actual outcomes of the study, just plant protein has risk factors, maybe worse for you than than meat, all this stuff. But I found a study today. This is not new. It came out a month ago. But the conclusion of it was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, by researchers at Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. And they said that eating a plant-based diet over the long term does not appear to increase the risk of hip fracture in postmenopausal women. So that's a really good thing. I do wonder if we talked about this before, because they have this little extra part where in the long term didn't matter. If you were eating a plant-based diet, you were good. Or there was no association. It didn't make a difference whether you're eating plant-based or not, as far as risk of hip fracture went. But if you were in the recent period, if you were eating a healthy plant-based diet, you had a 21% lower risk. And if you were eating an unhealthy plant-based diet, you actually had a higher risk. This is than the general population. So kind of goes along the same lines of the way this new study should be interpreted with the plant meats versus animal meats, that a plant-based diet is, they're not all the same. If you're putting a bunch of junk food in there, you're not eating the same diet as someone who's getting benefits from their plant-based diet. So that disclaimer, they're not the same thing. And if they're interpreted as the same thing, it's going to kill this whole plant-based thing. I'm telling you, it's not a good thing.
That's right. I agree.
Good. Got the wrong music coming. Almost hit the Friday button. Okay. This one's fun. Yo Egg, who we've seen before. They made those hard-boiled eggs that look like eggs, but they're vegan eggs that look like hard-boiled eggs. I think they were at Whole Foods. Bianca had one. Now they've got what they call the world's first whole vegan egg. I think you have a picture of this one, Doug. You can pull up. They show it. You literally buy a whole egg. Looks like a white egg. If you open it up, you get a runny yolk that you can then, you know, use as whatever people do with those, sunny side up eggs, whatever. So I guess you just treat it as a normal egg. I don't really fully understand how it works. It looks to me like it's already hard boiled, but I don't really fully know. Do you have any sense of that, Doug,
from the picture? I do not think the world needs this. As someone who eats just egg, scrambled egg, you know, vegan plant-based scrambled egg all the time, I do not think the world needs a egg white and yolk whole egg, vegan egg.
Yeah, I'm with you. Do you have the picture?
Yeah, I'm pulling it up now.
Okay. So I didn't read this full article. I kind of just grabbed the exciting part. But can you tell, does it come in this hard-boiled form, or like, obviously not, right? Because you can keep it runny. So what form does it come to you in?
So, I mean, I guess I have no idea. Like an egg, I guess. Maybe there's like some sort of yolk in the middle. Somehow they keep them separate and you can actually crack it or something like that. I don't know.
Or you can
it's unclear. This is their other product, the hard-boiled. And I actually understand why you'd want that. There are certain dishes when you need a hard-boiled egg, a vegan hard-boiled egg. I can see that. These I'm not so sure about.
Yeah, I'm not either. They say that you can it can be fried, poached, or something else. I lost it. Sorry. It's made from soy, chickpea protein based with sunflower oil. So it doesn't sound like there's any like eggy stuff in there, like that kala, whatever it's called, kala namuk salt. I don't know, butchering the name, I'm sure. But that sulfur salt. I don't see that in here. I was never an egg eater to begin with, so I wouldn't buy this. But I don't like this idea of you just sort of live this parallel fake life to normal people and you just eat all the same things. They're just made and they're fake. Like, just go eat the plant stuff. And we don't need, I just don't think we need this. I'm with you, Doug. We don't need this. It's too much.
Here's their website. And those look remarkably like eggs, especially the top right.
Yeah. I mean, this would be fun if you went out to a Korean restaurant and you get bibimbap and they put that egg on the thing. That'd be wonderful. But like, you just don't, I mean, in my opinion, you don't need this and start living like an omnivore and just cooking eggs like they cook eggs and just have your own parallel egg life. I don't understand that. All right. Next one. Very slow today. Slow on the draw. All right. We all love Wheaties as a kid. We all dreamed of being on a Wheaties box. We all had our mom make us one of those commemorative Wheaties boxes when we finished the Virginia Beach Half Marathon and had us at the end of it on the box. General Mills is now introducing Wheaties protein. Regular Wheaties just has 3 grams of protein per serving. It doesn't sound like the Breakfast of Champions to me if you're into protein. The new one has between 21 and 22 grams of protein per serving, depending on whether you get the maple almond or the honey pecan flavor. You wouldn't want that honey pecan flavor if you are a strict vegan, of course. But it looks like they get the protein just from whole grain flakes, nut clusters, pumpkin seeds, and either honey or maple syrup. You can't find an ingredient list online, at least I couldn't. So I don't really understand how they got this much protein in there from just nuts. It doesn't really make sense to me. Recently, another company put out this ghost protein cereal, and they use whey powder. So that's not interesting to vegans, of course. But this is like, it seems like the answer to that. But anyway, I don't know where the protein comes from. I don't get it. But I did some Wheaties.
A delicious dinner to me.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we poors should be doing for dinner, according to the CEO of the cereal company. Says that's the way to do it. I don't know. I haven't thought about Wheaties in a long time. Never really thought about buying it.
No.
But with all the grape nuts that I eat, like I could change it up. And if I knew I was getting a whole protein thing, a whole bunch of protein from mostly whole foods like this, I would be into this. I would definitely give this a try.
Definitely. Yeah, I agree.
I don't like the idea of those Wheaties getting soggy in the milk, though. That seems, I mean, grape nuts do too, but they kind of do in their own way.
Are Wheaties covered in sugar, though? Or is that like frosted?
Well, it does say honey and maple syrup in here. I don't remember Wheaties really being, they weren't like frosted flakes. I know that. It's not like they were really sweet.
I think that there is like a frosted Wheaties, which is what I'm thinking of, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sure, probably much worse breakfast to have, especially if it has 22 grams of protein. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm just not believing it. I think there's something missing here from that ingredients, this you know, partial ingredients list that we are reading. That may be the full list. I don't know. If it is, that's also amazing because that means they didn't put any other preservatives or anything else in there. But I'm just, before you buy this, make sure there's not whey protein in it. That's my warning to you.
Lots of comments here coming in, especially around the eggs. Let's see. Vegan Stallion, going back to the Just Egg, is convinced that the formula has changed. And you know what? I would actually notice something similar myself. But it looks like you complain and they sent you vouchers. So that's cool.
Oh, yeah. And what vouchers for what? To go back in time and get the old formula again?
Yeah, I guess if you don't like it, then. But the vouchers aren't doing very good. Dale says that the Yo eggs look like those rubber dog toy eggs, which.
Yeah. Not wrong. Or the gummy eggs that you see in the little candy shops, those little. You ever see those, Doug?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Britta says now she wants second breakfast. You know?
Because of those eggs?
And a Yo egg? I could have that.
I don't know. That Yo egg did not make me want to eat a second breakfast, seeing that picture.
Miss Jeffrey doesn't think it looks good either. Vegan Stallion, I knew we liked each other, or knew we would get along. She apparently plays a lot of disc golf.
It's not a she, it's a he.
He. Why do I keep saying that?
Stallion is a male horse, Doug.
I know. I'm sorry.
Vegan Stallion is a male horse.
It's like the third time I made that mistake.
So they play a lot of disc golf. Okay.
Apparently, yeah.
Good. He also says pumpkin seeds are the protein champion in the realm of nuts and seeds. They're less expensive than nuts also. So maybe that's the secret. If it is, fantastic. Way to go, Wheaties, for cramming in 20 grams of protein into a serving of cereal. I was thinking maybe that serving includes the milk that's in there, because I think cereal used to do that, right? They used to put that. But then when they compare in the article to the other amount, the original amount having 3 grams, that'd be kind of an unfair comparison if they were comparing that to the non-milk version, just the cereal. Anyway, there we go. There's your weather report. That's what's going on in the vegan world today and a month ago, if you care about that Harvard article I shared. All right, Doug, let's get to the story. Let's get to the headliner today. Psychology. This is serious stuff now. This is science. And it's in Forbes, so it's money. This is like behavioral economics we're talking about. Three mental blocks that stop you from, quote, going vegan, from a psychologist. By the way, speaking of this, that movie, I Could Never Go Vegan, where they address the vegan objections one by one and knock them off. Mm-hmm. That, I think, comes out tomorrow in UK theaters. I guess it won't be too long after that we can either get it online or that it gets onto Netflix or whatever, and then we can watch it. But we're a little curious about that, right?
Definitely.
It seems like a lot to sit through, but I saw some early reviews of it today who were listing facts that they had learned from it. And some of it was interesting. So we'll see. So this is related to that. Why do people not go vegan? First of all, people who are prospective vegans and people who are vegetarian who don't go all the way vegan. And the research, this is from an actual study in the Frontiers in Psychology from this year. And they identified three main reasons why people avoid it. So let's get into those here. Number one is the knowledge gap of dietary consequences. This kind of gets weird right away to me, because they're saying the reason people don't want to go vegan is they don't know as much as the vegans do about specifically the animal industry. It says vegetarians evaluate the animal industry significantly less negatively than vegans and prospective vegans. Moreover, they generally possess less correct information about the animal industry. For example, a third of vegetarians, non-vegan vegetarians, were not aware that their dietary choices still lead to the death of animals. So that's kind of a big reason, number one. It's basically saying, it's kind of saying, if you knew more, you'd be vegan. You just don't have the knowledge. There's a knowledge gap. And if you knew what vegans know, what we know, you'd be on our side. You okay with that, Doug?
See, no. I just don't know. I guess, like, people watch a documentary, they learn something, then they make a change after gaining that information. So possibly if people knew more about the food they were eating, they would go more plant-based. But I think people generally understand that, when you eat an animal, that you've killed the animal and it's probably not very humanely treated. So I don't know how much knowledge you got. When I read that, and granted, I didn't dig too deeply into the follow-up here, but I was thinking of it more as like people were just unsure, like, if they would get enough protein, or, they kind of didn't have the information that you would want to feel comfortable making a big diet switch. And I actually think that's a better reason. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I think people maybe hear that a vegan diet could be healthy, but they have the doubts and they don't put the time in to do the research. And those doubts keep them from actually taking the chicken off the plate.
Yeah. They're talking about vegetarians in many cases here. So I think there is an actual gap there. Like, I know when I was vegetarian, I simply did not realize that if I drank cow's milk, that was going to, that was part of the exact same system. And that same cow, you know, her children were being slaughtered or turned into dairy cows. And she, when she was done being useful as a milking cow, would be slaughtered. Like, I just didn't know that stuff. And so I do think that for some vegetarians, but see, I was so new at it. You'd have to be pretty new to kind of be blind to everything else. I kind of don't buy it either. Like, I feel like a lot of people, somebody wrote, Vegan Science says willful ignorance. Like, I think maybe it's kind of, you don't want to learn more about it because you don't want to have to stop drinking milk and eating cheese. So right. Like, easier just to not dig any deeper. Don't ask questions you don't want the answers to. I kind of agree with that one. But here's my thing. I don't, like you as a card carrying Democrat, Doug, could say, everyone who's not, you could do a study and say, well, everyone who's not on this side, they don't understand, they don't have the right knowledge. They read the wrong sources and they just get different information and it's not right. If they knew the real truth, they'd be on my side. So it's kind of that, right? Like, and that's not nothing new to you. Everyone would do that in politics, right? They could say that about their side. So it's like, I guess there are just sort of inarguable truths about the animal industry that you can objectively say, this is what actually happens no matter what. And if that's the case, then I guess, yes, you could say this is a true knowledge gap, but I just don't know how much of this is kind of opinion that they don't have all the information.
Well, see, so that's an interesting question. And I would say that if you knew, if you had the information, if you knew exactly what went into the meat industry, what happened within the meat industry, then you'd probably, there would be a lot more people who would be repulsed by that and want to go vegetarian or vegan. And there'd be a lot of people who just put a stick in the ground, stick in the sand or whatever, sand or whatever it is, and say, you know what, I don't care. Like, I'm going to keep doing what I want. And it's not having the knowledge isn't all going to automatically make everybody go vegan, right? That's not going to happen. There are plenty of people who fully understand what's happening and choose to, to either not care, or they choose, you know, some sort of local meat or something that maybe hasn't been grown in a factory farm. Whether that's better, I don't know. But, I think that they may choose that. But the knowledge, would, I believe, convert some people. I can see that.
If you just move, that's right. And I think for me, really, like, that is what took me down the path, and probably everybody. Like, you kind of get there by gaining knowledge, and you see a documentary or whatever, and you're like, wow, I didn't know that went on. And then next time you eat meat, it feels a little bit different. And I also think a lot of people, like, do get the knowledge about this and about health at the same time, and they don't decide to go vegetarian, but they decide to do what you said, and they say, I'm not going to be part of that industry. A little harder maybe to be very consistent about that. If you're still eating meat, I think it's easy just to forget about it when you're at a McDonald's or whatever. But I think there are people who say, I'm not participating in that stuff, and they go on eating meat. I would imagine. All right. On to number two here.
I kind of think though that, like, we're all choosing to be willfully ignorant all the time about various things.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I mean, we're making that choice because either we like, you know, the whatever lifestyle we're living enough to where we don't want to know any difference, or, you know, like, I don't think you can't show compassion to everything all the time. it would be so overwhelming if you were paying attention to literally every single thing. And you couldn't go through life like that, I don't think. So you have to choose your battles, I think, and choose what you're going to be passionate about or what you're going to make sacrifices for.
Yep, agreed. Just reading a couple comments here. Allison says, exactly, Matt. I was vegetarian for 15 years and really had no idea about dairy until my daughter told me. And thank you to Joaquin Phoenix for pointing it out in his Oscar acceptance speech. What has Joaquin Phoenix been in recently that he got an Oscar for? Do you have an idea, Doug?
I don't know. In
the film world? No? Well, you can let us know, Allison. But yeah, good on your daughter, says Steven. And then there's some conversation about why you don't wear headphones while you're running. I don't have time to go figure that one out. Involves snakes or something. So anyway, we'll circle back on that. On to the next thing. The cheese paradox, it's called. That's sounds like a good name. Sounds like it could be a book. But it is What that specifically is, it highlights how, despite knowing that consuming cheese affects animal and environmental welfare, you want to continue or wanting to continue consuming it. It's a weird sentence, but the cheese paradox basically is when you keep eating cheese, even though you know about what's going on and that it is, that the dairy industry is not nice to animals, that's a big motivator for non-vegans. They just want to keep eating cheese. So they say, yes, I get all that, but cheese. I like cheese too much. Vegans will tell you cheese is addictive, contains casomorphines. I don't know how true that is, but you do hear people saying it. And I know it contains those. I don't know how addictive that actually makes it in any different way than, you know, chocolate is addictive or any other food you like is addictive. There's another element to this that it sounds like some people who stay vegetarian and don't go vegan because they want cheese so much, they kind of believe that like there's something about how much they like cheese that is different from vegan. And they think I specifically cannot give up cheese because I just like it too much. So that veganism is not meant for me. But the researchers from here suggest that vegans likely care about taste just as much as non-vegans do. And it's just that they, for them, it's worth it. So, I mean, to me, this is a valid excuse, right? Like if you say I value the taste of cheese too much, I can't go vegan, even though I understand it. I guess, I don't know if it's better than ignorance, but
yeah,
in some way I can respect that, right? I mean, like at least you understand and you're making a choice and you're saying this, I value higher than that. And yeah, that's your values are your values.
If you took pizza out of the equation, no pizza, right?
Yeah. Like
how much are people really eating cheese? I mean, like people, a lot of people eat blocks of cheese and stuff like that, but like, that's not that hard to give up.
I know. You're right
and
about
you,
that.
You can make a sandwich without cheese and it can still be a delicious sandwich.
A lot of times when you're out, if you can't get cheese, you can't get anything good. That happens like at an Italian restaurant, you try to get eggplant parmesan or something. If you get it without the parmesan or the mozzarella or whatever, then like it's just not really a very good meal. It's okay. I've had it plenty of times. Or like, I don't know, like a Panera. I'm guessing most of those sandwiches like kind of depend on the cheese to be good. I don't know for sure. I don't really go to these places very much. But yeah, I mean, you're right. Like I used to eat cheese, drink wine. And so like when I think about giving up cheese, it was giving up that. But pizza has got to be the biggest one.
It certainly is. Like, you know, cheese, nibbling on cheese while I drink wine, like is not something I can nibble on something else and be totally happy. But I really miss a very good pizza. And I can make an okay pizza, but cheese would really help amplify that. And if there was a vegan cheese that did that for me, I would be thrilled.
Yeah. Harold says cheese's pizza is good too. Sauce and lots of vegetables is really good. And that's true. You can have good
cheese
pizza. You can have good pizza with like a little tiny bit of the fake vegan stuff sprinkled on there. Mm-hmm. It's not that pizza isn't bad now. It's just, I don't remember how it's good, but when I see it and smell it, people having it with the full cheese, I'm not grossed out. I think that still looks really good. And I remember liking pizza a lot more than I like it now. So I do agree with that.
Absolutely. Yep.
Vegan Stallion is talking about being a lousy, rotten drunk, but at least I admit it. What's this about? thinking about destroying whole universes as I'm weed eating my yard. Yeah, I've killed little snakes doing the weed whacker, and I hate that. They're tiny, tiny little things, and I think they're babies. They're probably not. They're probably just regular snakes.
Yeah.
But who am I to buy out this land and start killing snakes?
Right.
Go back to the Native American way.
Found a snake in my yard yesterday, and Katie asked how I was going to get rid of it, and I decided we were going to just leave it. It's a little brown snake, not harming anything.
Probably takes care of the poisonous snakes.
Yeah, exactly. Certainly some of the rodents and stuff, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Steven says, I can't deny I don't miss it. I'm thinking he's talking about pizza here, but tough snoozies. And that's right. Yeah. I mean, that's my approach, right? Like I miss it, but oh well, you know.
Yep. Again, values. Depends what's more important to you. And for some people, it's more important to keep eating that cheese. And for some, it's not. So there you go. All right. This one also wanted to revisit. Can't find it right now. So we will go on to the next. And the final one here, this is old habits die hard. And I don't know, this one's not too exciting. It kind of sounds like vegans are more willing to deal with concerns about potential stigma, criticism, or isolation. And I don't think I had those. When I was going vegetarian, I worried about that stuff. When it came time to go vegan, it wasn't that. It was just the inconvenience of having to give up cheese and, you know, the other inconvenience that you sort of take on. But yeah, I don't know. This is kind of a strange one to me. It just sort of sounds like, for whatever reason, the ingrained habits in vegetarians are stronger than those who are able to go vegan from there.
Yeah, I mean, it just comes back to your choices, right?
Yeah.
Your values.
So what do we do with this research? How do we start spreading the message?
Well, we figure out how to create a delicious cheese, for one.
Yeah, that's coming. I've predicted by the end of the year.
We walk around telling everyone about the horrors of animal agriculture, factory farming. Mm-hmm. And then we tell everybody that we're better than them because we're willing to break old habits.
All right. That's what it comes down to. We need to tell more people that we are better than them, and then they'll want to join us and be as good as we are.
Exactly.
That's how we can spread this message.
I don't know. Anything, any of your takeaways for you?
No, I remember what I wanted to say about the cheese, and that was that I think cheese is one of the least healthy foods people eat large amounts of. And that would be a really good thing to stop doing that, or to motivate people from that angle. Like, that could probably maybe get you past the idea. I don't know. I think people who are interested in weight loss, you probably consume a lot of people consume a tremendous amount of calories from cheese. And those calories, I don't think, are very helpful. Maybe certain cheeses are better than others in terms of health. But I don't know. It's a shame that one is the one people like so much. All right. More importantly, Steven says, Matt, thank you for introducing me to Tony P in DC. Doug, I get the credit for.
Yeah, wait a minute. That was me.
Yes, I must pass it on to Doug, Steven. He introduced me to Tony P in DC. I haven't been up on Tony P in DC recently. I got the feeling his audience was turning on him based on the comments, but I haven't been there in a while.
We talked about the locked in guy.
I think you mentioned someone else who was trying to be like Tony P.
Yeah, he's doing his own thing, but similar vibe, right? Like locked in. I forget what his name is. Davis something. Anyway, he ran the Boston Marathon on Monday, and he casually mentions that he pooped his pants, and he like points down, and it looks like he actually did. And that thing blew up. I started seeing that everywhere.
Yeah, I saw that meme as well, and I didn't know it was that guy you knew.
That's the guy. And I have no idea. I have no idea if he really did it or not. There's been no like follow up from him about it. He's like talked about the marathon and stuff. And
he broke 3 hours, didn't he?
Yeah, he broke 3 hours. Yeah, he was locked in.
Wow. It's pretty good. Well, good for him. All right. They're saying this became the snake episode. We barely mentioned it, but I guess in the comments, there's a lot of snake talk going on.
Came from the disc golf, I think.
Okay. And we didn't address the oil question. We meant to get into oil today because it was a Beth, Doug, who put a question about oil.
Yep.
All right. We'll talk about that tomorrow. We'll do that tomorrow show. The question is, you know, Matt always says he tries to eat olive oil now and actually tries to get enough of it. Whereas you read Dr. Greger and he sounds like pretty much all oils are not a good thing. They're not whole foods and they have evidence against them. So we'll get into that tomorrow. I will organize my case a little bit. Actually, I won't at all, but I'll tell you my reasons. They're not that strong. I'll spoil it right there. I don't know the answer, but oil's really good. I'm doing the thing where Mr. Jeffrey says, where I always say, we'll get into that later, but then I just go ahead and get into it. But there is more to it. There's more nuance, and I will not reveal that nuance just yet. So you'll have to stay tuned. All right. Got anything else, Doug?
No, I don't think so. This is it.
Okay.
Hey, watch out for YouTube Shorts coming.
Today's the day one drops.
Yeah, this is the external pressure. We got to post it.
If you see YouTube Shorts from us, please watch them and like them, even if they're not very good. Because that's the only way we're going to do more of them and get good at it.
Yeah, we need them to be well-loved.
Exactly.
All right, thanks, everybody.
Thanks for coming, everyone. Tons of comments today. This is always so good to see when people just keep talking the whole time like this.
You know, I would love it if people just didn't pay any attention to us and have their own hangout. You know, it's great.
Right. And then we stopped showing up. Gradually, we stopped showing up to the show. First, it'd be like one of us and the other, and we're both not here.
I'm like sitting here.
Some chat in the chat room.
I'm doing my work and you're like over there talking about snakes. It's great.
We could actually do that. I mean, that could happen. It wouldn't be that different from the show. We were just doing work. People just commented, did their own work too.
Uh-huh.
And it was just a little community workspace kind of thing.
Yeah, be cool.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks everyone for coming. This is fun. We'll be back tomorrow and then we'll be back Friday. Don't forget that Friday show. We're trying to get people to that. 1 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah. All right. Bye, everybody.
Right. Have a good Wednesday, everybody.
See ya.
Talk to you later.